Everyone, good morning. Are you ready to talk about money again? Yeah? Telling Omara this morning that we like to talk about money unless we're talking about giving money away. Then it's not our favorite subject, right? But we are going to talk about money today. If you were here last week, you know that we took time to rethink offering and we looked at scripture and we discovered an understanding about offering that maybe is a little different from what is commonly taught in churches. And yet I really believe the things we talked about last week were the heart of God, and we want to reconsider or continue to talk about that this morning as we talk about that giving to the Lord. And I'll tell you why I think this is such an important topic. Friends, what we do with our money and our wealth and our possessions that God has given to us, you know, how we treat those things really does reflect or show us, reveal who we serve, who we love, who we live for, and who we trust in, right? Isn't that true? I mean, Jesus said, Matthew 6:24, that we can't serve both God and money. He says we'll either love one or we'll love the other, but he says we can't love both. So it's like, who are we going to trust? Who are we going to serve? Who are we going to love? It's either God or it's money. And I know for Christians, or at least I'll speak for myself, I say I love God, I trust God, I serve God. And yet, although those words come out of my mouth, the things that I actually do with my money, how I treat my money, how I handle my money, I think is a better reflection of who I really love and who I really serve and who I really trust. So really the words of Jesus when he says, you know, it's God or it's money, which one do you love, which one do you serve? Kind of a harsh thing that Jesus says, a heavy thing Jesus says, and yet for that reason I think it's important for us to really consider this whole area of money and offering, especially for us as Christians, and how we handle our money, or we want to handle our money, handle our possessions in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, in a way that reflects our devotion to Him. Isn't that right? Right? Okay. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So as you know, we are in a series called Rethinking Church, and we do want to take time to talk about giving to the Lord. Now, before I start, let me say what I said last week. My desire is not to use this message as a way to somehow pressure you to give more, as to somehow manipulate you to give more offering to the church, or to make you feel guilty, right, about giving or not giving. Really, today we just want to look at Scripture, we want to listen to the Holy Spirit, and as our title of our message says, we want to explore God's heart for us here at SIBC. All right? So today, this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about giving to the Lord, and we're going to ask five questions. Five questions about giving, offering to the Lord. Now, the first two questions we actually answered last week. So questions one and two, we'll just kind of go through quickly. It'll be kind of a review of what we talked about last week. And then we'll spend most of our time this morning on questions 3, 4, and 5. So, you ready? Noji, are you ready? Okay, here we go. First question is this. Why do we give? All right, that's a good question. Why do we give? And last week we actually saw there were many answers to this question, many reasons why we give. First of all, last week we saw that God sets the example, right? Friends, our God is a giving God. God has given so much to us. I mean, all of the money, all of the possessions, all of the wealth we have, the Bible says, is a gift from God. On top of that, God has given us our family. He's given us friends. He's given us life. More than that, He's given us pure purpose and meaning in life. God has given us Jesus, His Son, to die on the cross for us. He's given us the Bible to lead us through life. He's given us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. He's given us salvation and forgiveness and love and joy and peace and eternal life and all of these things. We could spend all day talking about the wonderful things God has given to us. And so one of the reasons why we give is we're just following the example of God, right? God has generously given to us, so we want to generously give back to Him. That's one reason why we give. A second reason that we looked at last week is that giving to the Lord is a way to express our worship and our thanks to Him for His provision for us. Right? Bible says everything we have is a gift to us from God. Right? And so when we give offerings to the Lord, we're just acknowledging His provision. We're just saying thank you for what He has given to us. That's another reason why we give. Last week, we also saw that we give as a way to demonstrate our faith and our love, or our faith and our trust in God, right? When we hang on to our money, when we refuse to let go and we have this kind of a grip on our money, it reveals the fact that really we think we need that. More than giving it away, we think we need it for ourselves, and we're actually then putting our trust in our money. We're putting our faith in our money. And yet when we give, when we have this open-handed kind of approach with the money, the finances, the resources God has given to us, even though we think we might need that to, you know, make it through life and to meet our needs, when we're able to let go, when we're able to give, it shows that we're trusting in the Lord. Right? We're putting our faith in God to take care of our needs and take care of us. And then finally, we saw last week, one of the reasons why we give is in giving, it actually helps us to go deeper in relationship with Jesus, right? Before we give, it's an opportunity for us to look to Jesus and listen to Jesus. And in this way, it provides opportunities to learn how to better follow Him and more closely follow Him in this area of our life. So there's a lot of reasons why we give. If you'd like to hear those in more detail, you can go ahead and download the message from last week. It's on the SIVC homepage. It's only in English, but it's there for you. But friends, why do we give? We give simply because giving is good. It's good for us to give, and therefore, as Christians, we want to give. Amen? Okay. That was last week. Question number two is this. Question number two is, who do we give to? Now, the obvious answer to this question is we give to the Lord, right? Everything we give is a gift to the Lord. Everything we have is a gift from God, so when we give it away, we're actually giving it back to Him. And I think that's the simple answer to that question is, who do we give to? We give to the Lord. But the Lord's not standing here holding out His hands for us to give our gift to Him, right? So in a practical way, who do we give to? Well, last week we saw that, I think most Christians are taught, at least I was taught, that we should give our gift, our offering, to the church. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but that's really not the example we see in the New Testament, is it? All right, last week, we actually looked at a number of examples, and we saw that when the early Christians gave their gift, when they gave their offering, they didn't give it to build up the church and to support the activity and the life and the ministry of the church. They gave their gift, they gave their offering for the specific purpose of helping those who were in need. When they saw a need, a financial need, they gave to meet that need. And remember we said there were two groups specifically that the Bible says that the early Christians gave to? Do you remember who they were? The first one was the poor and needy. Right? The second one was the widows. That would be the needy. And then missionaries, church planters. All those aren't biblical words, but that's, you know, Paul as he was traveling around working in churches and planting churches. But those are the two examples we see of the New Testament Christians giving, and yet there's no mention of them giving to the church, which is really kind of an interesting thing for us. And so last week, my recommendation to you was to not just automatically give offering to the church. Right? Now, if you do, thank you, but I would encourage you to just not automatically, just week after week, month after month, give your offering to the church, because since your offering is to the Lord, that's who our offering goes to, right? It's to the Lord. Maybe, we should ask the Lord who He wants us to give our offering to. All right, so when you receive your salary, you can pray, Jesus, thank You for providing me with this money. Now I would like to give some of it back to You. Who do You want me to give it to? And then we take time to listen to Jesus and we obey what we hear. All right, now Jesus might need us to give it to the church. He might need us to give it to someone else in need. But friends, when we're doing this, we're letting Jesus lead us. We're letting Jesus guide us in our giving. And that's the way it should be, right? If Jesus really is the Lord of our life, He needs to be Lord over this. And He's the one who determines what we do with our money and who we give to. So again, if you're interested in hearing more about that, the message is on the SIVC homepage. Okay, so those are the two questions we kind of looked at last week. Right? Why do we give and who do we give to? So let's move on to question number three. Question three is, what do we give? Now, I'm not going to answer this maybe in the way that you expect. But friends, here's my answer to this question. What do we give? When we give to the Lord, we give God the best, the first and the best of all that we receive. What do we give? We give the first and the best of all that we receive. Right, we see this in a couple of places. In the Old Testament, there's this whole concept of giving first fruits to the Lord, right? Right? When a farmer received, or when a farmer harvested their fields and, you know, they collected all their grain or their apples or their mekon or whatever it is that they were a farmer of, right? They would gather all of that in, and the first thing they would do, the first thing is they would take a portion of that crop and they would give it to the Lord. It was the first fruit from their crop. They would take that, and that would be their offering of thanks to the Lord, an offering of worship to the Lord for His provision for them. But we see a few examples of this. Take a look, Exodus 23. It says this. It says, bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. You see, the best of the first fruits. Right? It's the first portion of the crop, the first part of the crop to come in. The very first thing they did was they took some of that and they presented it to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 says something similar. Verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Right? Here again, after the harvest came in, before doing anything else, they took a portion of that crop, they gave it to the Lord. And in doing this, they were honoring God with their wealth. Now you think, Michael, well, that's Old Testament. Well, we see this in the New Testament as well. Last week, I told you about Paul and how Paul was collecting an offering for the Christians in Jerusalem, right? They were going through some kind of suffering, financial hardship. So as he traveled around the different churches that he had a relationship with, he was asking the Christians to collect an offering so he could give it to the Christians suffering in Jerusalem. Well, look at Paul's advice. In 1 Corinthians 16, he's talking to the Corinthians Christians, challenging them, and this is what he says. He says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. Now, set aside a sum of money in order to be given to these Christians in Jerusalem. But when does Paul tell them to set aside their offering? On the first day of the week. Don't wait till the end of the week to see if you have any money left over. It's the beginning of the week. Right? Take some of what you've received and set it aside. See, that's first fruits. And so, friends, I think maybe this is also God's heart to us. Right? And this, I hope, is our heart as well, that we want to give to God first. Now, sometimes we think, well, we receive our salary, and then at the end of the month, if there's anything left over, we'll give that as offering to the Lord. But how many of you know that there's never anything left over at the end of the month, right? Right? No matter how hard you try, you always spend everything you have. So, and that's why we're told to give to God first. As soon as we receive our salary, before we do anything else, before we pay the bills or buy that thing we've had our eye on or go on vacation, before any of that, we set aside something, a gift to the Lord. That's why it's first fruit. If we pay our bills first and this second, that third, then it becomes our fourth fruit to the Lord. But we're told to give our first fruit. Our giving to the Lord takes priority over those things that we need to do with our money. Even takes priority over the things we want to do with our money. That's why it's called first fruit. And so that's why when we ask the question, what do we give? We give our first. But not only do we give our first, we also give our best. We saw this in Exodus 23. It told us to give the best of our first fruit. But we also see this in Numbers chapter 18. Look what this says. It says you must present as the Lord's portion, what part? The best and the holiest of everything given to you. You see, friends, everything that you receive has been given to you by God, right? And here we're told we take the best part of that, and that becomes our the Lord's portion. That becomes our gift to the Lord. Let me tell you a couple of stories. Before I came to Japan, I worked at a church in Los Angeles, and Chris and Luke will know this. Worked at a church in Los Angeles, a small church, and the church had a fellowship hall. It wasn't so big, a little bit smaller than this room. And this fellowship hall had a number of very old, very ugly sofas. And every couple of months, a new, very old, very ugly sofa would just magically appear in the fellowship hall. Sometimes they would appear in the youth room, right? Now, obviously, what was happening is people in the church were buying new sofas, right? And then they were giving their old sofa to the church. Now, I understand these people, they were trying to be helpful, trying to be nice. They think, oh, wouldn't it be great that the youth group can have a sofa to sit on? We can have more sofas in the fellowship hall. I know that there's a good heart, good intention in their giving of their old sofas. But were they giving their best to the Lord? No, they were giving something that wasn't even good enough for their own home. It was too old, too junky, too dirty, too worn out for them to have in their own living room. So we'll just give it to God. Now again, I know they had good hearts. I'm not trying to criticize them. But you see, we kind of have this mentality where we just give to the Lord, but it's not just giving to the Lord, it's giving to the Lord our best. He doesn't want, we don't give our junk, we don't give the stuff we don't want. We give our best to Him. And let me tell you another story, and this story is about Noji. And Noji might be a little embarrassed, so Noji, make sure you translate well, okay? Translate this correctly, okay, Noji? It's a good story, though. About 10 years ago, a church in America sent a video greeting to SIDC. Now, today, they would send it on DVD or just send it on the Internet. Back then, they sent it on VHS tape, right? So we had this VHS tape video greeting to SIDC, but we had no TV or VCR here, so the church family couldn't watch it. Well, when Noji found out that we had this tape but no way of watching it, he said that he was already planning to buy a new TV and a new VCR for his house. So he decided to give his old TV and old VCR to SIDC. Now, I was thrilled because then we didn't have to buy one, right? We it's not like someone's dumping off their old sofa. We needed a TV and a VCR, and he was going to give us one. So I was all excited. A few days later, I was working at church, and this is back in our old building down the street. I was working at church, and these two guys came to the door, these two delivery men. And they had a brand new big TV, and a brand new VCR, and a brand new TV stand. I was like, what? I didn't know what they were doing. They just dropped it off and said, here. I looked at the receipt, and it had Noji's name on it. I later talked to Noji, and he explained that when he was at the electronics store buying the TV for himself, he suddenly realized that he didn't need a new TV. God is the one who deserved the new TV. So instead of buying the new TV for himself, he bought the TV and he gave it to the church. And that's still the TV that we have in our children's room over here. You see, friends, Noji knew that when we give to God, we give Him our best. Not our junk. Not the leftover stuff that's not good enough for us. So, question number three is, what do we give? Because I think the answer to that is, we give the first and the best of all that we receive. That's what we give to the Lord, the first and the best. Okay, well, let's continue on. Number four. Number four is this. How do we give? We're going to spend a little bit of time on this question, but this question really gets at the motivation of our heart for giving. It kind of gets at the attitude of our heart when we give. You know, here at SIBC, we don't put pressure on people to give offering. In fact, some people think we should kind of put more pressure, right? But we just leave the offering box in back and we just kind of leave it up to you. But if you've ever been to another church, maybe you've experienced where they talk about offering a lot. And they're often encouraging you, reminding you to give your offering. Maybe you even come from a church where when you were baptized, you became a member, you actually had to maybe like sign a document or a pledge card or something saying we're going to give this amount of money, you know, each month or each year. And if you've ever been in that kind of a situation, maybe, just maybe, your motivation for giving was maybe, oh, I kind of have to do this, or I kind of told them I would. There's kind of a sense of obligation, maybe a sense of duty. Maybe it's kind of, oh, the pastor keeps saying that we should give, and I haven't given yet, so we give out of guilt. But friends, as I read Scripture, those are not the proper attitudes for giving. So let me share with you three things about, I think, how we give. And the first one is this. Friends, our giving is cheerful. Our giving is cheerful. Take a look here. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. It says this. Each man, and in Japanese it says each person. So each person should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you actually enjoy giving your money away? And you just find it fun just to kind of, here, I don't need this, you take it. All right? I mean, now, some of you maybe do. And if you do, you probably have the gift of giving, spiritual gift of giving. And if so, read Romans 12:8. There's some very specific instruction for you there. But for the rest of us, you know, it's not always easy to give, right? It's kind of hard to let go of our money unless we're buying something for ourselves and we get something back, right? But it's hard to let go. And yet Paul says this is something that we can actually be cheerful about. It's a little hard to believe, isn't it? We can be cheerful about giving away our money. And yet, friends, this is God's heart for us. God doesn't want us to give reluctantly. He doesn't want us to give under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, let's be real clear about this. God loves everyone, right? Whether you're a Christian or not, He loves you. Whether you give cheerfully or not, He loves you. Whether you give or not, He loves you. But there is a sense when we give cheerfully that I think it blesses His heart in a very special way. Because He's given so cheerfully to us. And when He sees us doing the same, He's like, they get it, they get it. I'm sure it brings a smile to His face. We see an example of cheerful givers in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Remember, as Paul is going around encouraging these Christians to give to the suffering Christians in Jerusalem, he mentions these Macedonian churches. He mentions the Christians in Macedonia. And in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, Paul mentions that they gave with overflowing joy. But not only that, Paul says that they urgently pleaded for the opportunity to give. Now, friends, isn't this different? I mean, most people are like, please, 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 please don't make me give. And they're like, Paul, please, please, please let us give. They urgently pleaded to be able to give. Now, a lot of Christians, well, I think just that these Macedonian Christians, they just their example to us is just really amazing because they gave with joy. And they didn't give because they had to. They gave because they wanted to. Nobody was forcing them or pressuring them. There was this overflowing joy. They gave with a cheerful heart. And friends, I believe this is God's heart for all of us. He doesn't want us to give offering because the pastor's telling us, you know, we need more money for our rent or we're going to have to move. That's not our motivation for giving. He doesn't want us to give because we signed some sort of pledge or contract with the church. I think those are the wrong motives. I think God wants us to give as an expression of our love, as an expression of our worship, as an expression of our thanks and our honor to Him. God wants our giving to be willing and joyful and cheerful. So here's the question. Is this the attitude of your heart when you give? Do you give cheerfully, with a big old smile on your face? Honestly, I struggle with this. I mean, sometimes it's hard to give away the offering. It's like, you know, God, it's a lot of money. I could really use some of this month. Right? I mean, it's hard to give cheerfully. And yet, if you're like me and you kind of sense that tug inside of your heart, maybe that should be a bit of a warning to us. If it's hard for us to give cheerfully, maybe that's a sign that we're a little bit more attached to our money than we would like to admit. If it's hard for us to let go of our money and to give cheerfully, maybe we're trusting in money a little bit more than we would like to admit. Maybe we love money and serve money more than we realize. Now, I don't say that to try to make you feel guilty or condemn you, so please don't condemn yourself, but if you're like me and that's something that maybe it's hard for you, cheerful giving, well, let's talk to the Lord. Isn't that the solution? To take time just to talk to the Lord? Tell Jesus you want to love only Him and serve only Him and trust only Him and ask Him to help you break free from that attachment to money and ask Him to help you become a cheerful giver. So I think that's God's heart for us. That's how we give. Okay, well, let's move on. How do we give? Number two, our giving is generous. And you were dreading this one, weren't you? You knew this was coming, and you were hoping I was going to somehow miss this or forget this, right? But our giving is generous. And we see so many examples of this in the New Testament. We saw examples last week, right, in Acts chapter 4, these early Christians, and they were actually selling their homes and selling their property and taking all of the money that they got and giving it away to the poor. Friends, that is amazing generosity. But you know, Scripture actually commands us to be generous. At least, I think it does. In English, there's a command. I can't see it in the Japanese. Maybe it's there. My Japanese isn't good. But look at English. In English, it says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and be generous, willing to share. Friends, Romans 12:8 says the same thing. God wants us to be generous, generous in our giving. Now, here's the really cool thing, right? When we're generous in giving to the Lord, somehow, in some way, God responds to us with even more generosity, doesn't he? I mean, he's already generous. I mean, how could he be more generous? But I guess he can, because he's generous to us. When we're generous back, he's even more generous. And we see this, 2 Corinthians, right? Chapter 9, verse 6. Paul says, remember this, because it's easy to forget this. So Paul says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That's just an amazing, wonderful promise from God. And that should, I think, inspire us to be generous in our giving. Now, having said this, I think some people think that generosity is only for those people who have lots of money. Right? It's easy to be generous when you just, you know, got tons and tons of money and you don't know what to do with it. And yet, friends, that's not true. You see, because generosity is not dependent upon the size of your income. Generosity is determined by the size of your heart. Right? Generosity has nothing to do with how much money you think you have or don't have. Generosity is about the condition, the size of your heart. Right? And friends, again, the Macedonian Christians, I think, are a wonderful example of this. Let me read again. As you notice, a lot of verses are from 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. Read those two chapters, wonderful chapters, as Paul is talking about just giving. But look at what it says. This is Paul talking about these Macedonian Christians who gave so generously. It says, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their what? Extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Friends, isn't that amazing? Right? These Macedonian Christians were experiencing extreme poverty. Right? They were not rich. They were not wealthy. They didn't have a lot of extra money they didn't know what to do with. And yet they still gave generously. In fact, they gave beyond their ability. I don't know if this is Paul's way of saying, I think they gave too much, right? I mean, they were probably giving away money that they really did need in order to live on and to meet their own needs, but they generously gave that away to help those Christians in Jerusalem. Wow. This reminds me of the story in Mark chapter 12. Remember how that story goes? Jesus is at the temple and he's watching all these people put their money into the offering box at the temple. And all these rich, wealthy people are coming by and they're dropping in large sums of money. And then along comes this elderly woman. And she puts in two small coins, huh? And look at what Jesus said about that woman. Mark chapter 12, verse 44. It says, all those other rich people, they all gave out of their wealth. But this elderly woman, she, out of her poverty, put in everything. All she had to live on. And this woman was poor, and her gift was small, but her heart was big. And on that day, it was she, not the rich people, not the wealthy people, she was the generous giver. She was the one demonstrating great faith in God. Friends, our giving is to be generous. From a world's point of view, that just doesn't make sense. The world says if you're struggling, if you just, it's better to hang on to your money. Give away a little bit, but don't be generous, right? And just from the world's point of view, this is not good financial strategy. And yet, generosity is the heart of God, right? This is how God wants us to give. All right? And then the third thing on how do we give? Number three is this: our giving is planned. Our giving is planned. As you know, here at SIBC, we don't pass the offering bags or offering plates during the worship service. And I have to tell you, in the past, at the leadership meetings, we would often talk about this. It was every couple of months, this topic would come up, and people would often say that they thought it was a good idea to pass the offering bags because it helped people remember to give. Right? If we don't collect an offering during the worship service, the thinking was it's easy for people to forget to give their offering. Now, I understand that thinking. But how do I say this nicely? Friends, it's not my responsibility to remind you to give. You see, when people don't give, it's not because they forgot to give. It's because they never planned to give. Right? If you don't think about giving until the offering bag comes, then you're going to forget. You see, but it's not really my responsibility to remind you to give. It's your responsibility to prepare your gift for the Lord. Right? And that's why we don't pass the offering bag. And that's why every time the leadership team wants to go at it, I'm like, no. You see, because it's not about me reminding you. It's about you just in relationship with Jesus saying, I'm going to prepare my gift. And I'm going to bring it when I come here each week. Friends, now we've already actually seen this twice today in some of these verses that I've shown you. Remember the whole idea of first fruits? Right? When we receive our salary, what's the first thing we do? We take a portion of that. We set it aside to the Lord. You see, we're planning to give. That's the same advice Paul gave, 1 Corinthians 16. Look at this again. On the first day of the week, each one of you should what? Set aside a sum of money. You don't wait until the offering bag goes by like, oh, I've got to give something. Beginning of the week, set it aside. Maybe you put it in a little special envelope and you write on it, offering or my gift to the Lord. And then when Sunday comes around, you bring that to church, if that's where God leads you to give it, right? If not, give it wherever He leads. But you know, bring it to church and then you put it in the offering box. And if you forget, that's okay. It's still in the envelope. You just bring it the next week and you put it in. You see, friends, and in this way, our giving is something that we pray about. It's something that we plan. It's something that we prepare even before we arrive here on Sundays. Now, of course, having said that, there will be times and occasions when we will spontaneously give to a need that arises, you know, without any prior planning or preparation. And that's good. I think we all need to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit as He leads us in that way, just in spontaneous giving. But when it comes to this regular offering of first fruits to the Lord, I think the example we see is that we are to prepare and plan our giving. So, how do we give? Well, I think our giving is to be cheerful, it's to be generous, and it's to be planned. Okay, well, we are running out of time, so we'll go on to question 5. We'll try to make this quick. Question number 5 is this. How much do we give? That's a big question, right? How much do I have to give? Or how much do I get to give, right? How much? Well, as Christians, how much are we usually taught to give? Christians are to give 10%, right? The Bible calls this the tithe. I was reading earlier this week that in the U.S., the average Christian only gives 3%, which is really amazing. When you think of all the people who are probably giving 10%, that means there's lots and lots of people who are giving far less than 3%. So the common teaching is that Christians give 10%, and yet most people aren't doing that. And yet, you know, that's what God required from the people in the Old Testament, under the Old Testament law. And so, you know, in many ways, Christians think that's the good amount to give. And you know, I guess that kind of seems good. And yet, friends, once we get to the New Testament, we don't see anything about tithing, do we? Oh, we do read about the Pharisees tithing. But in terms of the early Christians, there's no commands, no examples of the early Christians giving 10% of their income. In fact, well, Paul and Jesus make it really clear that the Old Testament law is not something that has authority over us today. Right? Jesus fulfilled the law. It's done. It's complete. It's finished. Paul says we're no longer slaves to the law, right? We're not bound by the Old Testament law. Now, the Old Testament's still good. There's lots of things we can learn from the Old Testament. We can even learn about God's heart from the Old Testament law. But the actual law doesn't apply to us anymore. That's why we can all have pork and shrimp, and we don't have to sacrifice animals. And you know, the law says you can't have clothes that are woven from two kinds of fabric, which most of us would have to take our clothes off right now because we'd be, you know, disobeying the law, right? So we all know that we don't live under the law, and yet for some reason we think, yeah, but tithing, we got to keep tithing. Yet that's part of the law as well. Now, I actually have a whole message on why I believe tithing is not for today, looking at Old Testament, New Testament, but I was thinking about giving it, but it sounds kind of negative. But if people are really interested, honestly, I think it'd be really helpful. But if people are interested, let me know. Maybe somewhere down the line, I'll go ahead and do that. But so if we don't have to give 10%, if that's not what we see in Scripture, it brings us back to question number 5. How much do we give? Well, we've already seen earlier today, the New Testament, for example, is the people gave generously. In fact, some of them gave sacrificially, right? They sold a house, got rid of all the money. That's kind of a sacrifice. The woman giving her last 2 coins to live on, sacrifice. Macedonian Christians giving more than they were able, that's sacrifice. If you think about it, at least for the Jews, they were probably already giving a tithe anyway to the temple if they were good Jews. So maybe any giving they were doing, maybe it was even on top of that. Right? So maybe for them, 10% really wasn't being generous. 10% wasn't really even being a sacrifice. So, you know, we don't really know for sure because no amount is ever really given in the New Testament. So we don't know how much to give. But friends, I think God did that for a reason. I think there's a reason God didn't say, give this amount or give this percentage. Because I don't think God wanted our giving to be based on a principle. I don't think He wanted our giving to Him to be based on some religious rule or some command that's been given to us. I think that God wants our giving to the Lord to be based on our relationship with the Lord. Right? You see, the only person who really knows the answer to number 5 is Jesus. Right? And so do you want to know how much you should give in offering? Well, friend, talk to Jesus. Ask Jesus. Right? Listen to Jesus. Let me say that again. Right? Some of you, I think, are distracted here. Friends, do you want to know how much you should give? Talk to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Ask Jesus. He determines what we give. It's not our choice to make. And it's not some principle, some rule we follow. It's Jesus. Now, if you were here last week, this might have sounded a bit familiar. And in fact, my conclusion today is the exact same as last week. Friends, when we receive our salary from the Lord, whether it's each week or each month, I think our response is just to bring that before the Lord and to pray something like, Lord, thank You for this money You've given me. Thank You for providing for my needs. And now as an expression of my love, expression of my worship and my thanks to You, I want to give some of it back to You. I want to give to You my first fruits of what You've given to me. And I want to give cheerfully and I want to give generously. So Lord, how much do You want me to give? And then take time to be still and listen to Jesus. And then when He speaks, we obey. Am I interrupting someone here? I'm sorry. Friends, and we do this every month. Every month, right? No matter what Jesus may or may not say to us one month, each month we come and we say, Jesus, how much do You want me to give? Now, of course, there might be times when we don't hear what Jesus has to say, right? We might ask and we might not hear. What do we do then? And here's my fear. My fear is that you're going to hear, oh, we don't have to give. We don't have to give tithe. And we ask Jesus, and if I don't hear Jesus, I don't give anything. And that's not it, because Scripture is really clear that He wants us to give. And He wants us to give joyfully and cheerfully and generously. And we want to follow the example of God. So we still give. And we give cheerfully and we give generously. But maybe it's just we decide how much generous is for us. And then we give that away. And then the next month we ask Jesus again, how much do You want me to give? And friends, I think in this way, our giving flows from relationship with Jesus. And isn't that the way it should be? Isn't that the way it should be in every area of our lives, that every area comes under the Lordship of Jesus Christ? I think so, huh? Well, that's all for today. I'm sorry I took so much time. And I think there's a lot of stuff just that we've talked about today, and I hope it wasn't too much. I hope there was something in here that was helpful and beneficial to some of you. But now we do want to take some time just to respond this morning by coming before Jesus. But we're going to take time now to worship, take time to have communion. We're going to take time to pray. And what you do during this time, friends, it's up to you. Right? But this is your time to look to Jesus and to draw near to Him. Right? Communion is available this morning. If during these next three songs, this is for anyone who believes in Jesus. Right? After you confess your sins and repent from your sins, you can go and receive the forgiveness of Jesus. And the bread and the juice, it just reminds us of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. His body and His blood was shed for us. And then, of course, as I say every week, if you would like to give offering, if you would like to do it cheerfully, the offering box is in the back of the room, and you can do that at this time. Let's take some time now to come before the Lord.